Welcome to This Justin, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Justin. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Justin studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. But before we begin with our special guest today, I'm very excited to announce that we're broadcasting the This Justin radio show again live from the HIM show floor on Tuesday, March 10th from 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. This will be our sixth year broadcasting live from the HIM's annual conference, and I could not be more excited. And many thanks to my radio show supporters through the years, HIMs, Lenovo Health, Intel, Business Radio X, and certainly Healthcare Now Radio. If you're planning to go to HIMSS this year, we'll be broadcasting from booth 2521, so please stop by if you're in Orlando and come see the show live. If you're not able to make the conference this year, you can stream us in the radio show again live at thisjustinradio.com between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern on the 10th. Last year, we had over 30,000 listeners, and it was a lot of fun and extremely a lot of learning. We'll have another great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policymakers joining the show. Here are just a few confirmed guests: Dr. John Halamka from Mayo, Dr. Rasu Shresha from Atrium, Neil Gomes from Thomas Jefferson University, Anish Chopra, who's a really great friend of the show, Dr. Karen DeSalvo from Google, Dr. Don Rucker, ONC National Coordinator, Steve Posnack, and the entire ONC policy team. So obviously a great show, and you certainly want to try to join us in some capacity. But without further ado, for this episode, my 191st episode, we have a great guest and a very good friend, Marianne Yeager, CEO of the Sequoia Project. Welcome back to the show, Marianne.
Well, thank you, Justin.
It's great to have you here, and you're always one of the faces that I love to see in the industry. Not only are you a great person, I've been able to work with you personally and on a couple of boards, but also the work that you're doing in our country, in healthcare, to move interoperability forward. But it's a big word for most Americans, but just what you're doing to ensure people get timely access to information, they get the best care at the right place at the right time. That's what interoperability is all about. And the billion or trillions of dollars that our country is investing in healthcare on an annual basis, you're trying to make much more efficient. So our spend goes a lot farther, our investment in healthcare goes a lot farther. So you are doing an amazing job, and you're an amazing person for what you do.
Oh, well, thank you.
But let's dive in, because I certainly want to share, and I'm going to have a couple different levels of the show today. We're going to dive into some real specific things, policies and strategies that are going on and initiatives in the industry, but then also at a high level, the importance of interoperability, and hopefully I can get to some best practices in that regard. But the entire show is focused around best practices, because we're going to tell you what's happening, how you can engage, the importance of why you want to engage, and so forth. But before we dive into a lot of those best practices and strategies, Marianne, why don't you just give us a real quick synopsis of the Sequoia Project for my guests?
Well, certainly. And thank you again for inviting me today. So the Sequoia Project is a nonprofit with a public good mission. So we really focus on advancing interoperability for the public good. We do that through several activities. We had actually supported the expansion of a large nationwide network called the eHealth Exchange, and then the development of a nationwide interoperability framework through Care Equality, and supported those activities as they grew. And now they were launched last year and operate as their own organization. So we really focus our work on trying to tackle some really practical challenges to interoperability and bring together the community across government and the private sector to figure out how we solve today's challenges, and then are building a good glide path for interoperability for the future. So we're a nonprofit, but we're very much in the weeds, as you like to say, and trying to make this a reality.
So, and I love it, and been fortunate enough to be a part of it. So maybe dive in a little bit farther to where Sequoia Project and, say, Care Equality and some of the other components come together, because we hear these names, we see them out in the industry, but just as a level set, because I'm sure we'll bring them up in our different discussion here.
Sure. Well, the Sequoia Project is, we really focus our work on sort of what are the universal challenges and issues that folks are tackling with to make interoperability work in practice, whether it's around patient matching or more recently, we're looking at data quality. We think of care quality, you know, we like to sort of use a corollary to the telecom industry where there are different cellular networks, but we can use our cell phones today and really call anyone regardless of the carrier they use. And that's very much like what we've had in the health IT industry and healthcare industry where healthcare organizations generally may not use and connect through the same health information network. And so before care equality, the providers weren't able to share information or access information with providers who were part of a different network. And so care equality is really that bridging factor and got the networks and stakeholders and providers together to agree upon how we could have these networks interconnect and share records with each other to make it easier for healthcare provider organizations and others to access information without having to join multiple networks. So that's really what care equality is about. Very proud of the progress, grown substantially, tens of millions of records shared every month now and growing, and really delighted to see a growing community of health information networks. eHealth Exchange is one, Commonwell, a number of vendor health information networks and HIEs and other integrators are all interconnecting through a standardized way, and that's through the care equality framework. So very, very proud of that progress and how it's able to leverage the great work that's already in the field.
Yes, and I remember now I've been out of the industry for a little while, at least on this one specific area, interoperability, but when I sat on the board of co-founder of Care Quality and a co-founder of Commonwell. And so one of my initial thoughts was back in 2013 is how do we bridge these two organizations as they're both doing great work. And so I believe I just read in the last year or year and a half, you guys have bridged that now? There's interoperability between those two? Is that correct?
That is correct. So Commonwell is now connected and the Commonwell healthcare organizations are now connected to others in the care equality community. And that is all facilitated through the care equality agreement and the standards and implementation guide. So they're starting, you know, to see really a ramp up in volumes as more and more providers get activated. To now they're capable of exchanging information in this interconnected ecosystem. So there's, you know, great progress and really delighted that everyone came together.
Excellent. So in 2019, we saw a multitude of regulatory proposal drafts, but I assume that we should start to see the finality of these in 2020, such as information blocking. But what are your thoughts?
Well, we are definitely hearing that the final rules are going through the appropriate clearance processes and approval processes and would be finalized probably in short order. It's a big year for regulation in the interoperability space. And it's not just one regulation. You know, there's the 21st Century Cures regulation that ONC has, information blocking being a part of that. And of course, the regulations coming out of CMS as well. So we have a lot we need to be tracking and be thinking of and making sure we're all preparing and in alignment.
Yeah, I guess I know things are, my gut tells me things are moving because the ONC is wanting to send several guests onto the radio show to share what, you know, these drafts. So again, no one knows the exact timing, but I would say early in 2020 or even potentially even the next couple of weeks, you just never know. But hopefully, we're all hoping it's before HIMSS 20 in Orlando because we want to certainly get a jump on this ASAP as an industry. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, we also appreciate that regulators take their time. And, you know, it's a very important body of work and they're very thoughtful. Obviously, there were a lot of comments. And so, yeah, we're hearing the same thing that it could be imminent and likely in early 2020. And we're staying tuned.
Yes. And one thing I will say just for my listeners, and I mentioned this on my show yesterday, is it's important to engage these regulations, certainly, or these proposed rules, because ONC, I promise you, ONC specifically, but I know in CMS as well, they read every single comment and they take this stuff extremely seriously. Marianne just mentioned, and they're extremely thoughtful in their approach. And it's just important to share your thoughts, good and bad. The ONC and the regulators deserve to hear what seems to be good and what's working with the regulation and in their proposals, but also what may not work. But sometimes we focus in industry on what's wrong and what's bad, But it's just as important to say, oh, you know what? You got this right. This may not be right, or this needs to be tweaked a little bit, but let's focus in also on these great items that you did very well on, because they need to hear what's good as well as what's bad.
That's so true. You know, and one thing, Justin, I should mention is we realize that information blocking rules in particular are pretty monumental, and basically mandating that information be exchanged. So it's, you know, we've supported work that were in the early ramp up stages, and it was largely voluntary and really motivated by trying, improve patient care, but now it's law. And so we actually, through our Interoperability Matters program, have had a work group working, for the past 6 months after the comments were submitted to ONC to figure out how do we interpret and apply the information blocking rules in preparation for needing to focus on compliance. So we have that group that is picking up their third phase of their work starting in January. And again, with an eye on looking for the final rule and really trying to bring the community together to figure out how are we going to interpret, apply, and implement and come into compliance with the information blocking rules.
That's excellent. Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about PULSE. So the Patient Unified Lookup System for Emergencies, PULSE, continue to be implemented in many more states in 2019. What can you expect in the coming year for 2020?
So this is an exciting year for PULSE. I don't know if the community is familiar. It's basically a system that's used by disaster healthcare volunteers in the field who are triaging and treating patients. And this PULSE basically gives them access to individuals' records who are often displaced and unable to seek care in their normal care setting. What is so exciting is that ONC was able to invest in doing some additional enhancements to PULSE. So there were a lot of lessons learned after PULSE was exercised in support of the fires in California for the last year or so. And Sequoia has been working with Audacious Inquiry as we scoped out, well, what is the next iteration of PULSE functionality look like? Even more exciting is that Florida and Texas are going to be deploying PULSE. And that's really significant because we know those states in particular have had some pretty serious disasters previously. And so we're really looking forward to working with them as they prepare to deploy PULSE in their community.
That's terrific. Excellent. So let's talk about, first of all, congratulations on Sequoia Project being named as the recognized coordinating entity, the RCE. But tell us a little bit about that, about, the responsibility for developing, updating, implementing, and maintaining the common agreement component of TEFCA.
Well, we were really honored to have been selected and to really have such a strong show of support from more than 55 organizations that supported our application. It was something that we knew was going to, tap into our depth of expertise, but also importantly, to make sure we galvanize the community. So they're really the body of work that we have in front of us as the recognized coordinating entity. It's the private sector organization that works in really collaboration with ONC and with the private sector and government stakeholders to help develop the common agreement that will be signed by networks who want to be qualified and basically recognized, designated as operating and supporting TEFCA. And that really involves working with ONC as they have read all the public comments on their proposal that they put out in the spring of 2019. We did as well. And so we're really using our experience and listening to stakeholders to make sure that the terms that are finalized in that common agreement can be operationalized and successful in meeting the policy objectives that ONC has. So that's one part of it. We're also working on more of a technical activity around an implementation guide. It's called a Qualified Health Information Network, or QHIN, technical framework. And that we have a lot of latitude to really leverage from existing bodies of work. So ONC put forward the functionality and capabilities they wanted to have operationalized between these different networks, because it's really about standardizing and having a common way that networks share data with each other, and that there are, common rules of the road and guardrails around that. So it's really exciting to be able to work with ONC in that capacity, and also to be able to leverage the work, for instance, of Care Equality, which has operationalized a similar framework. So a very busy year for us. We were awarded the contract in the very end of August and kicked off really just less than 2 weeks later and have hit the ground running. So it's very exciting. We actually had our first opportunity for input at our annual meeting, and then followed by a public informational call or input stakeholder feedback call, which occurred on December 11th, and we'll have many more coming up in 2020, including some sessions at the HIMSS annual conference. So looking forward to that.
Excellent. No, that's great. What would be a deliverable for 2020 around this project specifically?
Well, we have some very specific deliverables. One will be working with ONC on a version of the common agreement that would be put forward for public comment. So excited about that. The second deliverable is that implementation guide, the QHIN technical framework, or QTF. You know, we love our acronyms. And then we're also the feedback from the various stakeholder feedback sessions. So those, you know, we have information is publicly available on the RCE website, and we really make that further available. So we're really doing what we do best, and that is getting smart people to really, you know, inform this important work. But those are the two very specific deliverables that we'll be working with ONC to put forward in 2020.
Excellent. And for those joining us a little late, my guest today is Marianne Yeager, CEO of the Sequoia Project. So let's jump over to patient matching, obviously a hot topic and has been for many, many years now, an important issue. Is 2020 the year it could get solved?
Well, it's going to take some time to really solve patient matching. It's a complicated issue, but it's one that we believe we can actually make some substantive progress. Like everything in health IT, it's not going to be overnight. And what it took decades for other industries to do, we're trying to do just in a handful of years. We think we can start making strides by standardizing and getting agreement upon the standardized rules that in identity traits used for matching, and having more consistency will improve match rates. And then there are other opportunities as well. It's something that we've studied for several years, not from an academic perspective, but actually looking practically, how do we get organizations that have different ways of managing identities to have consistent practices so that there's a higher success rate between different organizations. So I think it's going to be a journey and a process, so we'll make incremental improvements over time, but it's definitely a continued focus of Sequoia and of course, you know, continuing to work on the rules that we published a few years ago and update those, which we're in the process of doing as we speak.
Wow. You guys have a lot that you're tackling. It's more than ever.
Well, there is a lot. There's a lot of work to be done. So
I agree. So what, I guess, looking at 2020, what would be your main focus? I mean, we just covered four really big, or not more, really big areas in healthcare in general, and health IT and interoperability. So what would be your main focus for 2020?
We are going to be focusing with our interoperability matters activity. We'll continue focusing on information blocking. We're actually launching a new data quality work group. So we're more interconnected as we've ever been as a country. And we want to bring together the end user community, clinicians, health plans, consumers, and the health IT community to try to make some strides in improving data quality. We'll support pulse expansion. And of course, there are ever important activities around supporting the recognized coordinating entity work. So we have a lot in flight, but we have a great team and a really supportive and engaged community, which is what's absolutely essential for us to be successful.
Excellent. And not to put you on the spot, but what's the website or the URL for Sequoia Project, just so people can begin to dial in? They're going to want to do some research, and because interoperability is so important for so many business models in healthcare. And obviously, you know, whether you're a practice, a health system, a hospital, you know, a community of health, whatever it is, interoperability is key to your long-term success. So where can you point them?
I'll go to www.sequoiaproject.org. And you'll find a lot of information there. And if there are ever questions, you can always, there's a place that you can sign up for updates or email us. And our team is always on hand to address questions and hopefully get others involved.
Yeah, and I've stayed connected in that capacity. So I'm certainly on your email lists. But you guys also do a great job on social media, certainly on Twitter. So that's also a place where I would point my listeners to if you want to, you know, get engaged, stay informed, all the public announcements. You guys do a great job of promoting in a very transparent way what you're doing and what you're going to do, so we can engage from a community standpoint. So I will say that. So now shifting gears, my show is based, and you know, because you've been on it before, really focusing on best practices and strategies. So why don't we take a couple of questions in this direction now? Because we just went through some really specific initiatives, which are really key, obviously, for our country and for healthcare in general. But taking a little bit of a step back from a standpoint of interoperability, best practices, and strategies. So where would you tell, I mean, so health systems are all over the board, and certain physician practices are even more all over the board on their thought about interoperability, how they're engaging, what they're waiting on, or and what they're accomplishing. So I guess at a higher level, where would you tell somebody to start? So let's start off with like a health system on in the importance of why of interoperability for them specifically, and then what it could be a first step if you know they may not be interoperability outside of their four walls.
Well, health systems in particular have been, I would say, on the forefront of focusing on interoperable health exchange. If they're not already part of or fully in production with a health information network, that would be the very first thing one would need to focus on. And then beyond that, I think it's really important that health systems and their leadership are actively participate in national initiatives to make sure that we're focusing on the things that are important to them. And so what we've heard very clearly from clinicians and healthcare provider organizations is they need better data. And so I think we really need to have their perspectives from the boots on the ground view to really make sure we're working and focusing on the right thing. But I would say two things is one, make sure you're involved in a health information network if you're not already connected. And then two would be to engage it to the extent you can. We'd love to have more representation from the provider community in our work.
Right. I don't think that changes much for a physician practice, but their resources tend to be more limited. But are there anything that would differ if you're talking to a 20 doc primary care group or 100, you know, even an 80 doc primary care group or multi-specialty group or something like that?
Well, for them, I think it's going to be a bit more straightforward in some respect because they will rely heavily on their vendor to enable them and get them connected to a network. And there are also a number of really robust health information exchange organizations that provide data and services to the physician practice community. And I think just making sure you're leveraging everything that's available to you locally and through your vendor to get connected and share information. And if you're, and to make sure that they themselves, that the vendors and HIEs are part of these national networks to make it possible for you to have access and to share information, not only within your community, but even, more broadly.
Yeah, no, very good point. And you kind of cued me up because that's one of the soapboxes that I stand on is I have for decades now is push your vendor. You need to push your vendor, certainly push your organization to ensure that you're going to be successful long term. Know your business strategies for your organization, whether you're a small practice, a medium sized practice, a large practice, or a health system. But then push your vendor. Make sure your vendor is delivering what you want for your goals because they will listen to you. You pay their bills. They work for you. Your vendor works for you as a healthcare provider. So push them to make sure that your data is going where it needs to go. So I've always been, very supportive of that. And I love when I was on the vendor side, I wanted my customers to come. And that's why I was part of, Sequoia Project, as part of Care Quality, as part of Commonwealth, as part of every interoperability initiative that I knew about, because I knew it was very important for the long term of care in general in America and globally. So, but push your vendors. Just wrapping up here, got a couple quick questions more now to the personal side, and this actually become more of the fun sector of my show. And now it actually is cut up even to its own show now. But where do you, Marianne, invest your time, talent, and treasure? On the personal side, what do you do outside of work? Where do you invest your time and money?
Oh boy. Well, I spend a lot of my time is invested with my children, two teenage girls. So very, very vested in my family and working with them. You know what I've really found a secret passion for is I actually got involved with our local homeless shelter when my daughters were Girl Scouts. And I've gotten more involved in supporting them. It's actually a really incredible organization called the Carpenter Shelter, and they do a lot to help families get back on their feet. And I've learned a lot more about the issue. And in particularly in the DC metropolitan area, it's largely linked to a high cost of living and housing. And so just definitely have a greater appreciation for the families are able to get back on their feet because of activities like that. It's very fulfilling.
That is terrific. I love it. In a lightning round, 30 seconds or so, what is your favorite place to get or be inspired?
I have surprisingly found the country to be very inspiring. My girls ride horses, and so I take them to ride, and it is incredibly peaceful and just it allows you to remove yourself from all the other distractions of life and to really get clarity. So that's my secret place to find inspiration.
I love it. I grew up in the country and I went back to the country last week and I couldn't agree more. I spend a lot of time either in the country or on the water, but it's areas that allow me to clear my head and focus on what's you know what I need to do, really truly do in this world. So it's excellent. Well, Marianne, thank you so much. It's great to have you on the show and I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you to everyone for joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you miss any of this episode or want to hear more, all of my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. Also, check out the new website and the updates that we launched at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.